The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Will there be non-believers in heaven? That's what we're going to talk about on this episode. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. Do you have a question that keeps you up at night? Well, you can zap it to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to Grace in Focus. Thanks for listening. And I want to say a special shout out to Brent Lamb, my friend Brent, who listens every morning and who leads worship
at Capel Bible
at
Fellowship.
Capel Bible Fellowship. How's it going, Brent?
I hope you're Brent, listening. We see you there.
We're going to take some Q&A. Are you ready for some Q&A?
I am. Let's give me a softball if
softball.
You got one.
All right, here's a softball. As I understand, this is from Dennis. As I understand your premise in Grace in Focus, you believe that if a person makes a sincere profession of faith but later becomes an apostate, that he or she is still saved. If that is true, will there be non-believers in heaven?
Okay, interesting question. First of all, Dennis doesn't quite understand our position. We do not say that a profession of faith has anything to do with who's born again and who's not.
And now, why not? What is a profession of faith?
A profession of faith is someone who professes or says, I believe something.
Right. So I believe it. You're saying it. But that's not the condition to be born again.
Right. The real question here is what the person believes, not what they profess. But secondly, what people profess is often not the saving message. What they often say in their profession is, I've given my life to Christ.
Right.
They often, if they profess faith, they will say something like, I profess that I believe Jesus is God and he died on the cross for my sins, and if I persevere in good works, I'll make it to heaven.
Right.
Well, that's not a clear message. You know, in fact, that's a straight-up work salvation message. So the issue is not a clear profession or an unclear profession. The issue is what a person believes.
Yeah. Have you believed the saving message or not?
And the saving message we find, for example, in John 3:16, that whoever believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life. And so I believe that by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am secure forever.
Right.
And coming back to Dennis's question, let's change his sincere profession of faith to someone who believes in Jesus for everlasting life,
yeah,
for his eternal destiny.
Yeah.
And then the person commits apostasy. He apostatizes.
And that means, that's a fancy word that means what?
Falls away from the faith. So he no longer believes in Christ as his Savior.
Like maybe he's become an atheist, or maybe he's converted religions. He's Baha'i or Muslim.
Right.
Or maybe he's, you know, not much of anything. He's just an agnostic.
Right.
He or she. So like your faith can change over time. We all know people who've kind of lost their faith.
Right. So now at that point, they're not a believer. Now, I think R.B. Thiem had a booklet called The Unbelieving Believer. Well, I think it was Apes and Peacocks or something, but it was about the unbelieving believer, I think. And he has a section in there. And the truth is, once you're a believer, you're always a believer, even if you stop believing.
Okay, what does that mean?
Because a believer is a status. When you believe in Christ, you now have a status as one in the family of God. So if you stop believing, you're a believer who is no longer believing, but you're still in the category of the family of God. But that ends either when the person comes back to the faith, which sometimes happens, or when they die. Because if a believer dies, he goes to be in the presence of the Lord. And at that point, any misbeliefs they have go away. And so if the person, let's say, became an atheist, well, they're no longer an atheist when they're in the presence of God and the angels, right?
Right. Their mind will have definitely been changed at that point.
And they know. So when he says, are there any unbelievers or non-believers in heaven? Well, the answer would be no. Now, if you want to stretch this, we know from the book of Job that Satan would come before God, at least in times past. Maybe he still does. in the throne room of God in the third heaven, he would be appearing with other angels. It's funny. Lucifer believes all the truths of Scripture. He knows those things are true. Mm-hmm. But yet, we wouldn't call him a believer because he knows those things are not true of him. He doesn't believe in Jesus for everlasting life because Jesus didn't die for him.
Okay.
Jesus didn't promise him everlasting life. So we could say there is that one unbeliever who sometimes appears in heaven.
So to answer Dennis's question, once you've believed that, you take that second of faith, that moment of faith, and you believe in Jesus for everlasting life, something happens to you at that moment. You don't have to wait 10 years for it to happen or 20 years or after death. You get eternal life at that moment. You're born again at that moment. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit at that moment. There's all kinds of things that happen to you at that moment. You're justified. You are placed into the body of Christ. All those things happen in a second.
Right.
And that does not change no matter what you do or what you fail to do or what you fail to believe in the future, because your fate is sealed at that moment.
Right. The believer in John 3:16, it's ha pistuon, which means the one who believes. The same kind of language is used of John the Baptist. He's called John ha baptizon, the baptizer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? John the Baptist hasn't baptized anybody in nearly 2,000 years.
Okay, so you're saying that salvation doesn't require continuous faith.
Right, and I'm also saying once you have believed in Jesus, you now are a believer forever, even if you stop believing, just like John the Baptist is the baptizer forever, even if he never baptizes anybody after his ministry.
Okay. It's interesting that Dennis raises the question of apostasy, and a lot of people do. It's almost as if they're saying, listen, I get it. You can be saved even if you cheat on your husband or your wife, or even if, like, you're driving drunk one day and you hit someone in a car and you kill a bunch of people in a face. I can see how you can still be saved even if you did bad things like that. But I cannot understand why you can still be saved and be an apostate. That seems to be kind of a red line for people.
It is, and the reason is they do not understand John 3:16.
The condition isn't lifelong faith. It's a moment of faith.
Right. If you think somehow you must have continuous faith, then you still don't really understand the promise. Because let's say you believe it takes continuous faith, then what happens if you stop believing?
You'd lose it.
And if that's what the person believes, then they don't believe what they have is everlasting life.
Right.
They believe what they have is probation, and the probation goes away if they die in faith.
Right.
A lot of people who hold the view, I mean, there are some people in the free grace camp that hold a view like that, and they will say they're sure that they won't fall away. Because they're a believer now, and therefore, in their view, God promises you'll never stop believing. Therefore, they are convinced they're always going to believe, and they don't doubt their salvation. We printed an article by, at the time, New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary professor, and he was arguing for assurance being part of the essence of saving faith. But he did suggest that apostasy was possible for a believer. That was Ken Keithley.
Okay.
And people can read it on our website. In my opinion, that is an error, but as long as the person is convinced that by faith in Jesus they are eternally secure and that can never go away, then they get it.
So what was his error?
His error was if you commit apostasy, you prove you were never born in the first place.
Oh, I see.
He doesn't say you lose it.
Okay.
And in terms of his own self, he's absolutely sure that he's eternally secure.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely sure he'll never stop believing.
Okay.
Now, he's wrong in that second belief.
Right.
Because he may or may not continue believing.
Right. You know, that's often tied to this idea that genuine faith, there's something called genuine faith, and genuine faith always perseveres until the end.
Where do you find this genuine faith in the Bible?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. You see the word faith or believe or belief, but you don't see genuine faith, and the reason is because that's a man-made construct.
Right, right. Or sometimes it goes under the idea, the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, and that's the idea that God has chosen some people to be saved, and as part of him choosing or predestining them to be saved, he guarantees that they're going to persevere in faith and good works till the end of their days. Well, there might be little dips and slips here and there, but...
Is that what those are called, dips and slips?
Dips and slips, backsliding, you know?
I like
but
that.
But you will persevere in the long run. But does God make that kind of promise?
Well, no, he doesn't. And the problem is, within Calvinism, there are many Calvinists who hold that view,
yeah,
and therefore they're not sure of their own eternal destiny.
Right.
Because what they will say is, I think I have genuine faith, and I look at my works, and I think I see the works of a person who has genuine faith, but I admit I could fall away, and if I do, I'll prove what I thought was saving faith wasn't, and I'll end up in the lake of fire. And I've debated several Calvinists who have admitted that. And so it's impossible to be sure of your eternal destiny. If you link it to your good works, it's slightly possible if you link it to continuing faith, because you can be inconsistent. But once you link it to your works, you'd have to be a person who, well, there is no such person, who was absolutely convinced that there's no way they were going to fall away, and was absolutely sure that their works right now measure up to whatever they think are the works of the quote-unquote genuine believer.
Right. Well, I hope that answers some questions, and I hope that raises some questions for you. Do you think that you can lose your salvation if you stop believing? Do you understand that all it takes to have everlasting life is a moment, a second of belief, not a lifetime of faith? Have you worried about whether or not you're going to keep on believing and what that means for your eternal destiny? If so, I urge you to reconsider John 3:16. The only requirement is to believe in Jesus. And the second you believe, you get born again.
And I would add to that, Sean, that each of you needs to understand you should be concerned about falling away, that you might stop believing, because we all need to take heed lest we fall. But that's not for our eternal destiny. That's for our fullness of life now and our rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. So know that you are secure the moment you believe in Christ for everlasting life. But then also know that you must draw close to him every day in order to stay in fellowship with him and in order to continue to believe in him.
Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that, if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback. And if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. Well, here we are at another beautiful Friday. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.